Good morning. It's good to see each of you here today. Let me go through a few announcements that are in your bulletin and make a few additional comments as we go along. Of course, this evening is our annual giving of thanks service, and John's going to come in a few moments and give you a few more details. But in light of that, the service this evening will begin at 6 o'clock, meaning there is no Awana and no youth group. So make sure you plan to be here this evening at 6 o'clock. And also, in light of Thanksgiving on Thursday, there will be no prayer meeting here on Wednesday evening. So just those are some issues for the week ahead. Now, on the back of your bulletin, a couple of announcements there. First of all, every year we try to be an encouragement to our mission families through special love gifts, special offerings. And if you would like to take part, you can put on your check, just make a note and give it to Sam, and we will distribute to, we try to divide it up among the various families that we support and include it with our December checks. So if you would like to take part, you can give those to Sam or drop them in the box in the back, and we will make sure the gifts are distributed. You notice there are a number of additions, corrections concerning phone numbers. I think we are going to have somebody standing at the back to ask if you've changed your phone number. Happens quite often, but those are some additions. So if you are trying to get a hold of any of these people on the list and haven't been able to, maybe it's because they changed their number or didn't want you to get a hold of them, one of the two. Now, the one above that, I need to make some special comment. There will be no Fourth Sunday fellowship dinner in December. But instead, on December 12th, there will be a chili and pie fellowship. Chili will be provided, and I really hope somebody makes chili warm enough for some of us. But for the rest of you, there will be chili here provided. But we need some of the accessories that go along with it. There are sign-up sheets on the bulletin board in back, and you can sign up for that chili lunch. We invite you all. But here's the secret. Was it Roosevelt that said December 7th is a day that shall live in infamy? Well, December 7th is Pastor Brad's birthday. I guess it's in honor of the
Just want to emphasize the special service tonight. In the book of Hebrews, we are admonished to offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And we want to give you an opportunity tonight to use your lips to offer up a sacrifice of praise. For those of you who haven't been here, what we do is very simply, we just have a microphone at the front of each aisle, and you just come forward and you say, I am thankful for, or I thank the Lord for, very specific things. We do enjoy sunshine and rain and wind and the world turns and that sort of stuff. But we're thinking, what has God done specifically this year in your life? And I recognize that for some of you, that's been maybe deep waters and dark nights and the fire's been burning hot. But even in those, there are things to be thankful for, and God has been good. And for most of us, we have been blessed very specifically beyond our wildest dreams even, and we have much to be thankful for. So prepare your remarks. We don't want just anybody standing up here and saying, well, I think of this and think of that. But you'll see people come up with a list, and that's fine. But we'll give you an opportunity to join with us. And because it really is a spiritual service, it is a sacrifice to God. It's encouraging to us, but it's a sacrifice to the Lord, the fruit of our lips giving thanks. And so come at 6 o'clock and come prepared to take a moment and tell us the things that you are thankful to the Lord for. To kind of give you an idea of some things and to set perhaps a stage, I'd like to read the words of the song that the choir will be singing later on in the service, just to give you an idea of the movement of this service, and it is directed toward God. For fruit of the vine, for harvest of wheat, for bread and for wine, the gift of your feast, the cup of thanksgiving I gratefully raise, O Lord of my living, my love and my praise. For dove in the sky, for wind in the trees, for coal in the fire, your spirit in me, the cup of thanksgiving I gratefully raise, O Lord of my living, my love and my praise. For springtime's green earth, for morning's first light, for every new birth, for grace and for life. The cup of thanksgiving I gratefully raise, O Lord of my living, my love and my praise. Join us tonight in giving your love and your praise to the Lord of your living.
If you'll stand now and take your hymnals. Our first psalm this morning, or hymn this morning, is number 9. A hymn of praise. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Number 9. Let's sing together. Of your hymnal, number 709. We're going to split this reading up into two sections, and we'll have the outside pews read the first section there, and then the center section read the second part. So number 709 is Psalm 100, and we'll start with the sides. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And turn back to number 20. A little bit of hymn trivia. The melody of this is the Old Hundredth, which means the 100th psalm, which we just read. And these words are a paraphrase of that psalm that we just read also. So we'll sing together, "All People That on Earth Do Dwell." It's also Psalm 100, number 20 in our hymn book. We come to you this morning and we are thankful. Lord, we just read that you are faithful to all generations. Lord, we pray today that all generations would be found faithful to you, that we would be thankful for everything that you have done for us. Pray that you would use this service for your glory today. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may have a seat, and choir, if you would come at this time.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, His loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, His loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore I shall look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord had disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to You, for You have answered me, and You have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech You. O Lord, we beseech You, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed You from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to You. You are my God, I extol You. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You today thankful for all You do for us in times of prosperity, in times of want. You are our strength and our help. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You can stay seated, but if you'll take your hymnals and turn to number 624. Just while we're sitting, I think it'd be good for us to sing Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow. It's number 624. And if you'll stand and turn to number 560 before Steve comes and teaches us from the Word today, we want to sing together, "For the Beauty of the Earth," number 560. Dismiss the kids to junior church at this time also.
Begin with prayer this morning. My Father, our Father, we thank you. Thank you for how you are working in lives, how you have so graciously, so mercifully been at work. And Father, we sit here this morning and many of us feel overwhelmed. Many have joyful hearts, grateful hearts. But Father, to each one, we come to your word and we ask that you would speak to each heart where we are. We believe in your word, and we believe in your Spirit's working in us. And Father, collectively, we seek your forgiveness for not having thankful hearts. We ask that you would remind us today, bring clarity to our thinking, to our attitudes, to our lives, that they would be lives fixed upon your goodness. We give thanks to you today, for you are good, and your loving kindness endures for our lives and forever. Bless our time in the Word. Give peace of hearts and the ability to listen to what you say. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you have to be thankful for today? You have an opportunity this evening to express, as John said, the fruit of your lips. What are you going to say? What can you say? Some of you, maybe this year, are wondering, is God really good? Is God really faithful? Is God kind to me? You have an opportunity to think today, to think about what it is you have to be thankful for. The very fact that you sit here and breathe is an indication of the faithfulness of God, isn't it? It's unfortunate, I think, that for many, and maybe some of you, the only time of the year you really think about Thanksgiving is this week. But Thanksgiving is to be a part of our lives as Christians. David, he said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Maybe some of you remember the times that Pastor Brad has taken us through Colossians, and maybe you remember some of the times that Colossians talks about, as a body of believers, we are to be thankful. For instance, chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 7, we are to abound in thanksgiving. We are to overflow in thanksgiving. The next chapter, chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said, we are to be thankful. The next verse, chapter 16, that when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we are to do it with thankfulness in our hearts. And then the very next verse, chapter 3, 17, we are instructed that whatever we do in word or in deed, we're to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This would be a part of our lives. And we have to understand that thanksgiving is not an option for the good days, right? Those days when we think, well, God's been good today, but it's to be part of our living. And tonight we will, just by way of application, we will have opportunity to express those things before others. What's God done in your life this week, this year? What's he done? What can you give thanks for? Whether or not you stand up tonight and verbally express it, you ought to sit down this week and write down, if you have enough paper, the things that God has done, the ways that God has treated you, your family, that's expressions of his goodness. Write it down. Be thankful. Well, this morning I'd like to draw your attention to a psalm that's sandwiched in between the shortest and longest psalms. Psalm 118. It's the passage that Joe read. It's a message for all of us, though I have titled it a psalm for those who aren't sure for what they're thankful. It really applies to all of us. Maybe you just can't think. Well, here's your psalm. Here's a psalm for you to express your thanksgiving. In other words, maybe you, maybe your family has had a hard time this year, hard circumstances. Maybe you feel closed down, almost ready to fall. Well, this is a psalm for you. This is a psalm that expresses the goodness of God. Psalm 118 was the reformer Martin Luther's favorite psalm. God used Martin Luther for the church, but this psalm was his. He said, "This is my psalm, my chosen psalm. I love them all. I love all Holy Scripture, which is my consolation and my life. But this psalm is dearest to my heart. I have a peculiar right to call it mine. It has saved me from many a pressing danger, from which no emperor, nor king, nor sage, nor saint could have saved me. It's my friend, dearer to me than on all the honors and powers of earth. It's mine." And he wrote on a plaque on his wall, verse 17, "I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord." You see, what was going on was there were reformers that were losing their lives. His friends. He said, "I'm good here. I'm fine. As long as the Lord intends to use me, I can recount the deeds of the Lord." Is that your attitude? As long as you're here, you will recount the deeds of the Lord. Right? Well, I believe in this psalm, there's a lot to help us. It's not an easy psalm to outline. It really is in two movements. From verses 1 through 18, you see the saints of God, and they're moving and moving toward Jerusalem. They're on their way. They're on a pilgrimage for a special feast day. But then in verses 19 through the end of the chapter, they've arrived. They've made it to the gate of righteousness, Jerusalem. And they're ready. They're expressing in a song their thankfulness to the Lord. But this psalm is for anyone that God has saved. Anyone, whether it be you think of your salvation from sin or whether you have experienced God's protection and keeping in hard times, this is a psalm for you. This is an expression of God's salvation for His people. When the prophet Jeremiah was in confinement, Jerusalem, it was before the destruction of Jerusalem, the Lord gave him a prophecy. And although the city of Jerusalem and Judah was about to be overtaken by their enemies, about to be destroyed, God spoke to Jeremiah, and he said, "I'm going to restore this people. I'm going to restore you to this land." And he said, there will be one day in this devastated city the voices of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. What will they sing? "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever." This psalm is what they would sing. Well, later on, the nation of Israel comes back under Ezra. They're rebuilding the temple. And in Ezra chapter 3, they sang a variation of Psalm 118. And as they were laying the foundation of the second temple, he said they sang, praising, giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His steadfast love upon Israel is forever." Well, Psalm 118 is the last of a group of psalms called Egyptian Hallel, or Egyptian Praise Psalms, beginning on 113 through 118. And what all of these psalms were for were expressions of praise when the nation of Israel left Egypt, experienced the salvation of God. They would sing. They sang these psalms, these Egyptian psalms. Didn't sing them all, but they were psalms in to remember that. Passover meal, Psalm 113, 114, they would sing before. And then finally, the last four, they would sing afterward, after the Passover meal. So Jesus and his disciples, as they left the upper room and they were going to the Garden of Gethsemane, were singing Psalm 118. It was an important psalm to Jesus and the apostles. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds cried out, verses 25 and 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Save us, O save. Hosanna. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they sang. Later on that week, Jesus spoke with the Sanhedrin. And he said to them, he applied verse 22 to himself. He said, this stone that you, the builders, have rejected, it's become the cornerstone. And he applied it to himself. So you see, Psalm 118 was very much in the minds of the apostles. Peter, you Psalm 118:22, when he preached to the Sanhedrin after the resurrection. In Acts 4, he testified that God had raised Jesus from the dead. He had resurrected him. He ascended into heaven. And he said, this stone which you rejected, you builders, you rejected, it's become the chief cornerstone. And there's salvation in no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, that Jesus. And later on in his epistle, Peter used it when he spoke of the cornerstone. And he said, as a result of the mercy of God in your salvation, you now are to express the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Recount his deeds of salvation. It's for us. We can recount. We can proclaim the excellencies of God's salvation because we, and I trust, you have received the salvation of God. The goodness of God. Well, that's what Psalm 118 generally is about. Let's look at it a little more. First four verses, verse 1 through 4, talk about how God in His goodness has fulfilled your greatest need. He has taken care of what you need, and therefore be a grateful people. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Three groups of people. He calls upon them. I want you to sing the refrain, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. That's what he's saying. He said, Israel, the nation as a whole, you are to give thanks to the Lord. The priests, those who served in the temple, they were to praise God for his everlasting love. But you who fear the Lord, zeroes in on not just the priests, not just the nation, but all who fear the Lord. It's for all of us. In other words, all of us today need to be stirred to give thanks to the Lord. not just when he is good, but because he is good. His character, his nature is good. His steadfast love endures. Even when you go through those hard trials out of distress, when my enemies surround me, you're to give thanks to the Lord. Paul states it this way, that there is absolutely nothing, tribulation, persecution, death, that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What this year has come into your life that could separate you from the love of God? His love is steadfast. It endures forever. And underlying these verses and the entire psalm is the experience of God's salvation. It talks about five different times in this psalm forms of the word salvation or save. Save us. It's talking about God's salvation. If an enemy is attacking you, where do you go? You cry out, Lord, save me. But in your sin, that's where you go. That's where you cry out, God, save. It's a picture, I think, of just deliverance, but in spiritual sense as well, because all of us were called, in the words of Ephesians, children of wrath. Where else are you going to go? Where else do you find help? His wrath is upon us. We're one heartbeat away from judgment. But God, in His steadfast love, in His mercy and kindness, drew us to Himself in a steadfast and a loving relationship. He is the one who bore our sin, and through faith in Jesus Christ, He saves us. And now, what's your steadfast song? The love of the Lord is steadfast. Everything else may fail, but His love is steadfast. Well, He's met our deepest need, but then He goes on and say, we don't naturally see. We don't naturally see that God's salvation is our greatest need. So the Lord often allows us to have difficult circumstances. That's what he's saying in verses 5 through 13. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and he answered me, and he set me free. Commentator Derek Kidner, he said, the first section is the timeless love of the Lord. This section is his timely help. Just in time. His help. The psalmist said, we're in distress. Enemies hated him in verse 7. On every side he looked and there were just enemies. And not just an individual or a little group. Verses 10 and 12, 10 through 12 talk about they swarm him, even nations. Maybe it was a king who wrote. Nations surround him like bees, just swarm around. Where do you go for help? They pushed him violently. He was on the verge of falling. Fall has the idea of when your circumstances are so out of control. That's what falling is. They're out of control and you don't know what to do. I'm about to fall. Out of my distress, I called to the Lord and He answered me. He set me free. I think Joe read A Large Place. And what it is a picture of being so tightly bound in your situation that you don't know where to turn. My kids, when they were little, they used to like to hide in a dark closet. Daddy, come find me. And of course, I didn't leave him. But flipped on the light, opened the door, freedom, it's light. But you see, the idea is he felt so bound in, like he was in a closet and it was pitch black. He didn't know where to turn next. His heart melted because of his trials. And he called on the Lord. And some of you, I know, this year have had to call on the Lord. To call on the Lord. There are three lessons here. First of all, first lesson is that God uses our trials to show us our need for Him so that we will flee to Him. That's what He says. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. Things were so bad, I call on the Lord. We pray most fervently when we are in the most severe trials. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know it's true, don't we? It gives clarity to our prayers. Things are falling apart. We don't know what to do, but we go to the Lord. It's focused, it's fervent when we are in difficult situations. But we do it in faith because we know the Lord delivers. The Lord is our help, our ever-present help in time of trouble. He knew that if God didn't come through, he was doomed. And out of great need, he called on the Lord. So should we. We should call at all times. But he's our help. But the second lesson he gives is that in our trials, we must not doubt that God in Christ is for us. When fierce trials hit, the enemy makes us doubt the goodness of God. Makes us doubt whether or not God is faithful. If God's so good, why does He permit me to go through this? Why does God allow persecution, death, trials? If He's so good, why does He allow it? Some of you maybe doubt that God is good and He loves you. But the psalmist said in verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me." And just to kind of assure himself, he repeats it in verse 7. "The Lord's on my side." The writer of Hebrews spoke of this verse when he talked about the hard circumstances of saints' lives. And how God sometimes will use hard times for discipline. He will use times that are difficult, times of pain, suffering, maybe even death, for the sake of His children, whom the Lord loves. What does He do? He disciplines. He disciplines us. But the point is that nothing can happen that's ultimately harmful because they can't take away the salvation of God, keeping of God. Jesus said, "Don't fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Paul said it wonderfully. Romans 8, when he said, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" God takes care of His people. Third lesson, our trust must be in God alone to save us. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded like bees. They went out like fire among the thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord alone can save him. Not, he said, man, not the government, not his army. It's not good economic times. It's not, and you can fill in the blank, it's not all those things that sometimes we look to, but the Lord alone. Crying out to the Lord is not usually our first reaction. Because let's face it, guys, you know this, you pride yourself on a fix-it kind of guy, right? You can fix problems. And the first thing we think about is, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this situation? Rather than, the first thing we do is call upon the Lord. What shall I do? What shall I do? We had a guy in the church in Fayetteville who was working his way through grad school by trying to fix cars. And he said, you know, every time I got a car to fix, I'd pray. I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what the problem this car could be, but before I put my hands on it, just give me perspective, wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean he just kind of laid his hands on the car and by osmosis it was fixed. He had the help of Mr. Craftsman who resided in his toolbox. But the point is the attitude. God gives us means. Sometimes he told the nation of Israel, be silent, wait, and see my salvation. Other times, David used his army. He used the people that were with him to overcome the enemy. But the point being, we use what God intends, but it's always trusting it's God who heals. We mentioned in Sunday school this morning, means. I go to the doctor and I say, Doc, give me the medicine. Give me the means to heal. But I know it's God's healing. That's what's behind it. We use the benefits, the blessings of God. And he said, hey, I was being pushed hard. I was falling. But it was the Lord who helped me. When it comes to our salvation, God often will use hard trials to bring us to Himself. He did in my life, maybe yours, maybe it's health issues, maybe horrible family situations, financial crisis, whatever the case. God works to bring you to Himself. May be hard, but your need is not just, Lord, help me out of this jam, this crisis, but it's to develop a closeness, a relationship with the Lord that other things could never accomplish. When the Lord saves us, when the Lord rescues us from our difficult, hard situations, the next section, verses 14 to 21, tells us what happens. When the Lord becomes our strength and our song, He gets the glory. That's what it's about. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Makes 3 points. The first point he makes, verses 14 and 15, that when we know the care, the salvation of God, it fills us with joy. Glad songs of salvation. Verse 14, The Lord is my strength and my song. That comes from the song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15. They had just come through the Red Sea. They thought they would be wiped out by Pharaoh's army. They came through and Moses said, "Lord, You are our strength and our song. You have become our salvation." All through the Old Testament, the Exodus was looked back upon as the prime example of God's hand of salvation, God's care of His people. When you relied upon God to save you from your sin, He becomes your salvation, your strength, and your song. Goes on. He says, "Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteousness." When we experience God's salvation, great joy in a home, right? In the tents of the righteous. Righteousness, including the fruit of the Spirit, is at the heart of a home, happy home, that has looked upon the Lord for salvation. But the second thing he says here is when we know God's salvation, He is glorified and we are to recount His deeds. God's done valiantly, so I recount His deeds. Verse 17. The psalmist exalts the Lord, His strength, His right hand. And as a result of God's deliverance, he vows, "I'm going to tell people." What are you going to do tonight? Can you tell us, can you recount the deeds of the Lord in your life for the rest of us to glorify God? It's your opportunity to speak of the excellencies of the Lord. Verse 18, it says, "The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He's not given me over to death." You know, on the surface, seems like you may have enemies. Seems like you, hard things may come from other people. But the psalmist said, behind it all, it was the Lord working in my life. It was a hard thing that came from the Lord. It was John Calvin in his commentary. This is what he said. He said, "The main thing in adversity is to know that we are laid low by the hand of God, and that this is the way which He takes to prove our allegiance, to arouse us from sluggishness, to crucify our old man, to purge us from our filthiness, to bring us to submission and subjection to God, and to excite us to meditate upon the heavenly life." Do you see those hard things that way? Maybe God is intended to wake you up. Maybe God intends it to give you love, not for here, but for above. Maybe God intends it because you've just become sluggish. Don't know. But I do know, the writer of Hebrews said, that discipline produces a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Whatever the case, why ever, it's to produce righteousness in you. Only the righteous may enter into true worship. "Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter in." The gates of righteousness, probably Jerusalem. They probably come now to on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They entered into the sacred place to worship the Lord. So he's shown we need salvation. It's our greatest need. And we can call on him in the most difficult times to help. But finally, what he's saying is that God's salvation, the way God has done things, baffles the world. It's a surprise to the world. They don't expect it. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, this stone may, in the context, be talking about Israel, rejected by others around them. It may be David, a king, that his brothers rejected him. Could be the stone of the second temple. But whatever the context was, you remember Jesus applied it to himself. He was talking about himself. He said, "You rejected me." Isn't that a surprise? But it's shocking. Shocking to the world that Jesus, this one who humiliated himself, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, he is Lord. God's way of salvation, 1 Corinthians said, it's a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block to the proud. It's God's way. It's a surprise. It's a bafflement to the world. But this is God's doing. He is the author. He is the initiator of our salvation. So we cry out to the Lord, "Lord, you are my God. I give thanks to you." Dr. Boyce told of three Protestant martyrs in France back in 1600s. And these three men, Huguenots, all used Psalm 118 to express their thankfulness to God for martyrdom. First was Louis Rang. He was condemned to die in Grenoble, and he was offered his life if he would renounce his faith. He said, "Not a chance. Won't happen." I'm adding words. He went up to the scaffolding to be hung, and he sang a version of verse 24. "Now here is the happy day for which I have been waiting. Sing praise to God who gives joy and pleasures unabating." A few weeks later, second one, a man by the name of Roger, he went, same thing. He was offered. He said, "Your life, if you will give up the faith." He sang the same song as he went up to the gallows. Last of all, 17 years later, the last of the martyrs was offered his freedom if he renounced his faith. He refused. He said, "Now is my happy day. Now's my happy day." You may not face martyrdom, but we all face trials. We all do. We all face trials. And if you have experienced God's salvation in Jesus Christ, you must give thanks. If you don't know what to say tonight, you can say, "You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Throughout my life and forever. So make this psalm a song for you tonight as you think, "What can I be thankful for?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, perhaps you intend to chide us to look above, to look upon you, for you are our God, and we are called to extol you, to recount your excellencies day upon day. Father, I pray for each of us that it won't be just today or this week, but whether it is in word or deed, that it would be with thanksgiving. You call us that your praise should continually be in our mouths. Father, maybe you desire to transform the way we talk. Maybe you intend to transform the way we think, the attitudes we have. Perhaps you desire to teach us to overcome the bitterness, the anger, the wrath that may exist with hearts of thanksgiving. Whatever you intend, Lord, your purposes are good, for you are good, and all that you do is good. So remind us today, challenge us afresh with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand and turn to number 556. Psalm 118 starts and ends the same way. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. One of the ways that we can express our thankfulness is in song. But it's just one of the ways, so I hope that this will just kick off our week of thanksgiving as we sing together number 556. Now thank we all our God. Heard from your word today of your faithfulness to us. Lord, we just pray that as we go through this week of thanksgiving, that we will take time to remember all of your goodness for us, all of your mercies to us. Lord, we pray that this week we would live our lives for you, and dismiss us now, we pray, in your name we pray, amen.